This is Unhurried, and I'm your host, Doug Kyle. You know, life can feel like a race, rushing to the next thing, never time to reflect. But there is incredible value in slowing down with God to take in His perspective, His presence, His pace. What exactly is the hope factor, and how does that make a difference in the believer's life? This is season two, episode two of Unhurried, and I'm your host, Doug Kyle. Thanks for joining us. Great to have you along. Here in the studio with Ryan. Why don't you say hello?
Hello, everyone.
Good to have you here. Is that you like that title, Production Wizard, or is there something better?
It sounds way more like someone knows what they're doing. I would consider a wizard to be very like Gandalf, you know, been around for a long time and knows what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I'm that guy.
we'll work on a title.
Right. I'm more of a hobbit, I think, in this. I'm more of a production hobbit.
All right. Well, say hello to Ryan, our production hobbit.
Hello.
I like that. I like that. That's good. And welcome to each of you that's joining us both on audio as well as now video. Video format second season, which is really good. Really great. So great to have you along. So the focus of our first few episodes of season two is going to be a spiritual reset, helping us connect more deeply with God. My conviction is that God wants us to draw near to Him and invites us to do so, and He longs for us to experience His presence really more and more in our lives. It starts with stepping into God's presence. We talked about that last time in our previous episode, which is rooted in the verse Hebrews 10:22. It says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart." It starts with stepping into God's presence, connecting with Him, and then it leads naturally to this idea of hope, what I'm calling the hope factor, and that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about today. And we covered it in our message last Sunday, but Unhurried is designed to be sort of this chance for us to slow down a little bit and go more deeply into what we cover on Sunday morning messages. And so this is a hope that we can do that as well together through this podcast format. Last Sunday at church, we put these stickers. We have these stickers that are made that say Unhurried on them. They look exactly like the kind of the cover photo on the podcast, both audio and video, and they were stuck to the lids of the coffee cups that we served on Sunday morning. So people were literally taking a sip of their coffee and seeing my face as they lifted it up to their lips. They could see my face staring back at them. I have connections in the coffee counter. So that was, I was able to get that, but I was talking to someone about it afterwards about these stickers. And they said, well, you know what? We have our sticker at home. We took it off the lid and we put it on our Keurig machine. Which I thought, seriously? They put on their coffee maker at home. They have it there. And then he was telling me that when he has coffee in the morning, he sees this reminder to slow down. Ryan, I was going to ask you, what's your morning beverage that you have each day?
Well, I used to be a very avid coffee drinker, but recently I was like, I'm drinking too much coffee throughout the day. And so I've adapted tea, you know, but I don't do loose leaf or anything like that. I'm not that fancy yet. So I just do like a, you know, pre-made tea or something, a black tea or green tea. But I do feel like it does kind of give you a different morning than getting your quick jolt of caffeine and going out the door, you know?
Yeah. So we only do tea at home because coffee is way too complicated.
But
it is a nice ritual. Slows you down.
Make
a little tea in the morning or throughout the day. We actually borrowed an espresso machine for Christmas when we would have family and friends over to make coffee at home. It was so hard and it wasn't that good, you know. So I'm back to just having tea at home in the morning. But the point of all of this is that Unhurried is meant to be that kind of weekly ritual in our lives. It slows us down, like having a cup of coffee, a coffee break, or a cup of tea at home, and to listen to this and reflect on what we talk about on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I sort of feel like that's the vibe that you're going for, yes. or we're going for with this yes. podcast.
Well, when we first met, we met at a coffee or tea shop, actually. It wasn't even a coffee shop.
It was a tea shop.
It was a tea shop in San Juan, Capistrano. And so, you know, I don't know. I think that kind of essence of that, when we started talking about the podcast, that's kind of where it birthed out of, I think. We'd just kind of sit down in an unhurried manner and, you know, have a conversation and drink some tea. And,
So. Well, hopefully people at home are feeling the same way.
Yeah,
That's the feel that we wanted to have. And one of these days we might even get coffee cup swag for
that would be cool. That would be so cool.
That would be great. Well, slow down. Maybe you're having a cup of coffee. Maybe you're taking a walk. Maybe you're at the gym working out. Maybe you're driving. Wherever you are, slow down and let's reflect a little bit more on what we talked about last Sunday, this idea of hope. It's what I'm calling the hope factor. And I want to really us to think a little bit more deeply about how it makes us more resilient as people, as believers. I'm not sure I've really delved that deeply into the idea of hope in a message before like we did on Sunday. I especially for a long time, I've really wanted to cover the difference between hoping and wishing. And so that really worked into our conversation over the weekend. Because if you think about it, a lot of times when we think about the word hope, we really are thinking about wishing. In everyday, ordinary conversation, when we use the word hope, what we mean is that we're wishing for something to be, you know, something to turn out okay, something to be good. In an otherwise uncertain scenario, it's a little bit of a gamble, but we're hoping that it's going to turn out all right. But what I wanted us to think about a little bit more is the idea that hope in the Bible is very different from that. It is not this uncertain, you know, I really wish that things are going to turn out that way. It is grounded, it is the anchor of our faith, and it's grounded in a confidence that we can have about God and about our future. Our passage comes from Hebrews 10:23, where it says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." And if you look closely at that passage, it shows us that as believers, our hope is grounded in two things. It's grounded in God's character, and it's grounded in his promises. It says, he who promised is faithful. And so it really underscores the idea of God and his character, who he is, and then he who promised, the idea that it is linked to what he says is true for us and what we can count on about the future. So you see, that's a very different way to think about hope than the way we usually use the words. We can say, as believers, we can say that no matter what happens, we know this, that God is always going to be true to himself and he's always going to be true to what he says. It's a different kind of hope altogether. And it's the kind of hope that God wants us to have. And then as I was thinking about this, it was kind of a late add to my message. I almost, when I was almost done with my message, this wasn't going to be in there. But as I was getting near to actually giving the message, I added this whole dimension to it. And that is that this changes the way we pray. If we really understand what hope is, our prayers are going to be different. And we can begin our prayers asking God for what we want, what we wish, what we hope for in the way we usually use the word hope conversationally. But we should end our prayers with the way the Bible uses the word hope. We end with biblical hope. And here's how that relates to our prayers. And this is where a lot of the follow-up conversations I had, what they were about as well, what people wanted to talk about. We can pray for what we want, but we should end with hope. And that gives a resilience to our lives. That gives us a resilience to our prayers. Why do I say resilient? Well, when we pray for something and it's not answered the way we want it to be answered, side note there, I noticed I didn't say it's not answered because God always answers our prayers. He always answers, but a lot of times, not only a lot of the times, but sometimes it's not the way we want it to be. Someone I was talking to this week was listening to the, the funeral for the late President Carter, and they told an anecdote about his life, about how he used to teach Sunday school, and he would tell people, God always answers your prayers. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says, you've got to be kidding me. So it's not that God doesn't answer our prayer. He does answer our prayer, but sometimes he doesn't answer it the way we want. But when we pray with hope as well, when we add the resilience that hope can bring, we are not devastated. We're not shattered when our prayers don't go the way we wanted them to. It changes the way we think about that. We realize that even if it doesn't go the way we want to, God is still going to be true to his character, which means he's loving, he's faithful, he's just, he's good. He cares about things that more deeply than we even can imagine. He cares about the things we care about even more than we do. God's going to be true to his character, and he's going to be true to his promises. And even though they didn't play themselves out, at least in from our perspective and from our limited view, they haven't played out the way we wanted them to, we can still have this hope that God is who he is, and he's going to do what he says. And so that gives us confidence when our prayers don't turn out the way we expect them to. But it even gives us confidence to pray. It's not just that, we have a resilience when they don't go the way we want to. It gives us confidence to pray. Sometimes we're afraid to pray because we think, well, what if it doesn't go the way I want to? Is that going to rock my faith? Is that going to destroy my belief in God? But actually, this gives us confidence to pray, even if because it gives us a place to go with our prayers. We're drawing near to God, and then we bring our fears and our worries to him. We tell him, Lord, I realize I can't control this, and this is beyond what, wherever we're praying for, this is beyond what my ability to make happen. So I'm trusting you with it, but I'm also trusting that you see more than I see, you know more than I know, and you're going to answer this in a way that's bigger than I realize, but you're going to answer in a way that's true with your character and your word. And instead of drawing us, rocking our faith, it actually roots our faith in who he is and what he's going to do. I've discovered that kind of hope gives me great freedom in my prayer, because I can tell God what I want, and then I can leave it with him, knowing that he's going to do what's best according to who he is and what he said. It actually allows us to engage in the world a little bit more and engage in prayer a little bit more when we add this hope element to it. That's why I say it gives us a resilience. It reminds me of C.S. Lewis' quote. By the way, Ryan, last season I asked people to tally the number of times I quoted C.S. Lewis compared to Larry Osborne. That was at the front end of the podcast. Right. I kind of knew that I'd probably be relying on them a little bit. So how do you think it worked? Do you think I erred more on the side of C.S. Lewis or Larry Osborne quotes?
Well, yeah, it was a close race, but I think C.S. Lewis ended up pulling out the W, I think.
Well, C.S. Lewis is winning the season two. Because
he's definitely winning.
He's out of the chute here. We're starting with the C.S. Lewis quote.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
You can continue to keep track at home if you'd like to. Here's a quote from C.S. Lewis that comes from Mere Christianity that really captures what we're talking about today. He says, hope means a continual looking forward to the eternal world. It does not mean that we are to leave the present world as it is. If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. Aim at heaven, and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth, and you will get neither. I love that quote. I probably have referenced it many times in my ministry, because it shows us that as we engage with God and trust him, as we put our hope in him, it actually re-engages us in the world. It actually reinvests us back in the reality of this earth. And it makes our faith more real. It makes it more alive. It makes it more resilient. As we tether our lives to him, who he is and what he said, it changes the way we operate in this life as well. Rather than shaking us or making us less real and less engaged in this world, it actually grounds us more. The Bible talks about hope being an anchor, and that's exactly what hope does. It anchors us in this world. It makes us resilient. It makes us better prepared for life's ups and downs, joys and disappointments, because let's be honest, this world is shaky. It's unpredictable. Things change a lot, but God doesn't. And that's why our hope must be, you know, centered in Him. And that's why we need clarity about what biblical hope is. Biblical hope, here's the way I defined it on Sunday. Biblical hope is a confidence about the future that is grounded in God's character and His promises. And that's so different than the way we use the word. So I want to encourage you as you reset, have a spiritual reset as you're listening to these podcasts, that you'll make hope a big part of the way that happens as we reset our hope on Him and rethink about the way we put what we mean when we talk about hope. It's way more than just wishing. It's way more than just being optimistic or desiring something good. It's something that's grounded in the reality of who God is and what He promises to us as believers. If you'd like to listen to the message that this kind of grew out of, you can look at the Green Valley Church YouTube channel. This particular message was given on January 12th, 2025, the one that I'm talking about a couple days ago. If you want to see what we're talking about, you can reference that as well. It's also available as a Green Valley Church podcast. Ryan, I think there's links to this on our YouTube podcast channel as well.
Yes, yeah, on our YouTube channel and also our Spotify and Apple Podcasts and everything. It all hyperlinks back and forth to each other, just in case people wanted to watch it, or they want to listen to it, or they want to share it. It'll send everything over at all at once. So
that's why you're the production hobbit.
That's why you're a wizard.
That's why you're the hobbit, because you arrange all that stuff. Exactly. That's a specialty for hobbits. So
awesome.
So there's all your resources are available there. I want to thank you so much for listening, and for some of you for watching as you're following along with this. We've got a couple more weeks that we're going to go more deeply into what it means to have a spiritual reset. I'm so glad that you're following along with us. Until next time, this has been Unhurried with me, your host, Doug Kyle, and I look forward to talking soon.